Rome's four major basilicas each has a feast day marking its dedication, a day remembered in the church's liturgical calendar every year. We celebrate St. Mary Major's on August 5th and St. John Lateran's on November 9th. The basilicas of St. Peter and St. Paul outside the walls are celebrated together on November 18th. Though it's not the one we see today here in Rome, St. Peter's Basilica was first erected over the tomb of the Apostle Peter by the first Christian emperor, Constantine, in the 300s. Peter was believed to have arrived in Rome around the year 40 AD, the first century, and lived here preaching and converting Jews and Roman pagans to Christianity until his death in the year 64. Peter was one of the first Christians to be rounded up and put to death by the Roman Emperor Nero, who blamed them for a horrific fire that devastated the city. The site of Peter's death and burial, an area of Rome called Vatican Hill. Construction on the basilica pilgrims can visit today was begun back in the 1500s on the order of Pope Julius II, who never lived to see it completed more than 100 years later. It was Pope Urban VIII who finally consecrated the basilica on November 18, 1626. While Veronica Scarisbrick took a walk through St. Peter's Basilica with Father Adrian Tomlinson from the Venerable English College, he's gained quite a reputation for his pilgrimage tours of the basilica.
Of course, St. Peter's is called St. Peter's for no other reason than it's built over the grave of St. Peter, the grave that's located for us today underneath the high altar.
Can we walk towards the high altar? Presumably there's something to mark the grave of St. Peter's, isn't there? There's a huge confessio, what's known as a confessio, which is a horseshoe-shaped open space in front of the altar with burning lamps around there.
That's right. The confessio takes its name not from anything to do with confession, other than the confession of Peter. Peter gave confession and witness to the life of Christ by his death, a death which ended with him being buried here on the side of Vatican Hill. It was on this site that early Christians venerated this great apostle. And when Constantine, back in 310, marched down and conquered the city of Rome, he wanted to
see an end to persecution of Christians.
Not immediately. That ended in the Edict of Milan in 313. But on his arrival in Rome, having won that Christian battle, he wanted to see what he called the trophies of the Christian God, because he accredited his victory and winning of Rome to the Christian God. He was brought here to the foot of Vatican Hill, which in those days would have been outside the great circus of Caligula and Nero.
It was countryside in those days.
Of course, the circuses where people died were always outside what's called the pomerium, the great place of dwelling. But here was brought to a graveyard and shown a very small and insignificant grave, by then built into the side and marked into the side of a later grave where the Prince of the Apostles, Peter, was buried.
But today we have a huge basilica around this, don't we?
Indeed we do. This basilica is the later basilica. Constantine himself was to excavate the entire hillside away in order to place his 4th century basilica over the tomb of Peter.
So that's where we're standing now, where I described this balustrade in a horseshoe shape. And if we look down, is that where the remains, the relics, I should say more correctly, of St. Peter are?
It is, but one of the most common misconceptions is if we look down there, we can see this beautiful mosaic apse of Christ, the Pantocrator, the great
with a silver urn.
With the dark silver urn, yes. Most people think the relics are in there. In fact, they're not. What's contained in that silver urn are the palliums, the black and white stole that the Holy Father and the archbishops wear around their necks. They're kept there to be kept close to the bones of Peter.
Which, and to provide a continuity, because the people who wear these stoles are the bishops of the church.
Exactly. They provide and mark the continuity and unity with the bishop, the archbishops throughout the world, with Peter represented by our Holy Father. But if we look carefully, we can see a little lamp burning there just to the right of that silver chest. And there beyond is a red porphyry marble slab. And it is beyond there that even today lay the bones and the remains of Peter.
It's not very obvious to the pilgrim that the relics lie behind this marble slab. Why not in the box?
Well, the entire box was placed here by Constantine. That was his first, if you like, monument to St. Peter. Inside his basilica, he encased the relics in this beautiful white and red porphyry marble box. It was then surrounded by these beautiful white Carrara marble columns with capitals on them. Those, in fact, today, if we look above us and up to those great balconies, we can see the two on this balcony above St. Helena, two on the balcony above each of the statues surrounding this great high altar. They are eight of the original Constantinian columns. And just as a further point of interest, Constantine took the design from the columns of Solomon's Temple in Jerusalem.
So we're going back in time in a big way.
We are going back, and those again are mirrored, if we look behind us, at this great baldacchino, this great canopy above the altar, the papal altar, they're mirrored again in Bernini's creation there.
Father Adrian Tomlinson speaking there to Veronica Scarisbrick. Well, many people don't know it, but besides the tombs of St. Peter himself and many of the popes, St. Peter's basement contains a necropolis or burial ground that dates back to ancient times.
How eminently fitting that in the historic basilica near to the site of St. Peter's tomb, the memory of your and our St. Columban should be venerated.
That was Pope Pius XII back in 1950, referring to the tomb of the 6th century Irish Saint Columban, located not far from the tomb of Peter. It was Pope Pius XII who in 1939 ordered the excavation work beneath St. Peter's Basilica to determine whether there was physical evidence of Peter's presence. The excavations, which concluded 30 years later, indicated Peter was indeed buried there, as were a group of early Christians. But they weren't the only ones. Besides being a Christian cemetery, the necropolis was home to a number of Roman pagan tombs. I spoke with Regina Gee, an art historian and Fulbright scholar recently here in Rome, to conduct research on the tombs in the Scavi, the archaeological digs underneath St. Peter's Basilica. She told me more about them and how archaeologists discovered the exact site of the Apostle Peter's grave.
The Christian church literally rests on the shoulders of these tombs. In fact, had this church not been built, the original basilica by Constantine in the 4th century, the necropolis simply would not have survived. And the fact that it was covered up by the emperor and only uncovered in 1939 means that the state of preservation is extraordinary. It's incredibly rich for an art historian to go down and take a look and try to see how they were used. This area was an area where people built their tombs. It was on the outskirts of the city, outside of the official pomerium where you could build. Think of the Appia Antica and those tombs that line the road. There was a similar road going across the Vatican Plain, and so it was, before it was anything else, a good location for a nice sort of ostentatious monument where people could see it.
Now, where do scholars place St. Peter's tomb?
St. Peter's tomb is literally in the line of these tombs. The tombs that I study were built around the space where the edicula, which is the earliest structure associated with the shrine of St. Peter's that survives, was built and dates to about 160 AD. If you imagine the papal altar or if you care to, you could begin with the dome and drop a straight plumb line down. You will reach the spot eventually. It has been in the same spot since the construction of both basilicas, and it's directly below the papal altar.
So where are these pagan tombs that you are studying in relationship to St. Peter's tomb?
Think of a line running east-west, two rows of tombs, and near the western end is the tomb of St. Peter's. And these, the tombs I study, basically flank it on either side and continue in a line further in one direction. Sort of down the nave of the current church would be a good place to imagine them.
So when Pope Pius XII was conducting those excavations down there, what did they find exactly?
These incredibly well-preserved, and people say catacombs, and I've actually had classical archaeologists say, oh, you're studying the catacombs, and I have to correct them and say, no, these tombs were originally above the ground. They were freestanding. They were beautiful chambers. They had doors and windows.
So in other words, they were like little houses or something.
They look extraordinarily like modern little houses, actually, almost like a row of tract housing, because they're right next to each other and they're very similar in their appearance. They are beautifully decorated inside, mosaic floors, elaborate painting, beautiful stucco work, and Constantine's builders did do some damage. As I said earlier, the reason they survived is that the emperor used these tombs as the support for the floor of the first basilica. So when they filled them up with dirt and moved some things around, there was damage, but compared to the other tombs from the same period, these are in great shape. These were very expensive monuments. The people who owned them, to judge by the inscriptions, were an interesting group. They were mostly former slaves who made a great deal of money. And they wanted
slaves?
Yes. Former slaves. They were freedmen. We call them libertini as a class. And they went from owned property to owners of property, and they wanted to communicate that fact. They became Roman citizens. So there was the proud display of the trinomia, the three names that mean I'm a Roman citizen now. Part of the material display was because they wanted to communicate the change in status, absolutely.
How many tombs did you say that the excavators eventually found there under the basilica?
They were able to uncover 22, most of which you can enter, some you cannot. There's almost no doubt that it went on to the east and the west, but it would be dangerous to the fabric of the church to continue.
Now, how do you explain the mixture of pagan tombs with Christian tombs down there?
Well, these tombs had a long history. They're dated to about 125 to 170, and they ended their life, as it were, with the covering up by Constantine. Towards the end of this period, in other words, right before Constantine essentially rendered them functionless to build the basilica, there's evidence of reuse. That's a long time, and so families die out. There might even be people who squatted, you know, who moved into empty tombs because they wanted to be close to Peter. Some of the families may have become Christian, or it may just be a new family. It's difficult to tell, but what you see is inscriptional evidence that makes it clear that now we're dealing with Christians. And perhaps the most interesting example is a small tomb called Tomb M by the excavators that was clearly originally pagan, belonged to the Julia family, and a small child was buried there about a year old. And it was redecorated completely with Christian mosaics near the end of its existence. In that tomb, we have one of the earliest images of Christ. He looks like the god Helios, but he has a cross instead of rays of sun. We have Jonah and the whale and the Good Shepherd in there. So that's a good example of reuse by Christians of these tombs. But if you look in the other tombs, there's Bacchus and Isis and Hercules and Aphrodite.
What evidence did these scholars find to prove that Peter was down there?
Well, the physical evidence of the edicula, the building that was found that dates to 160, it does look like a funerary monument. There is also evidence in the form of a graffito from the 2nd century on this shrine that it's in Greek and it's fragmentary. It definitely has Peter's name on it, and one very eminent scholar named Guarducci has interpreted it to say Peter is within. And what it shows is very early on, before Constantine, almost less than two generations after the martyrdom of Peter, there was a strong belief by the Roman Christian community that this was the actual site of his burial. And that's very early and very continuous. There's never been a suggestion that he was elsewhere. There's sort of an unbroken line of belief, which, considering how early it started, is very compelling.